Welcome to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. I have in my hands a copy of 15 Minutes Ago, an autographed copy of 15 Minutes Ago, a Vietnam War memoir by Craig Cheddar. I have in the studios at the University of Sioux Falls, across the table from me, the author himself, Vietnam veteran, former Marine, Brookings resident, Craig Cheddar. Thanks so much for making the drive down to Sioux Falls today to sit with us in the studio.
I thank you very much, Lori. It's a pleasure to be here.
This book begins with a trip back to Vietnam and some really surreal moments, some emotional moments for you and some connections with your son there. Tell me a little bit about that trip and how it came about.
It came about because I have always wanted to go back. I wanted to smell the air, walk the ground I so hated, and to just see how communism really was doing in that country. And I chose to take my son because I felt it was important for him and I to bond in that way, and it worked out very well for us. I think what I took away from the trip was the country itself was very friendly to Americans, even though they refer to our war as the American War or the War with America, either way. And they hated the bombing. That was the thing they hated the most. They always mention that. And the other thing that's maybe a little surprising is their birds are gone. I think our Agent Orange, they say, took care of their birds. And they're coming back, but yet they missed their birds. And I thought that was rather interesting. From an experience standpoint, I stopped the bus one time, or asked Twin to stop the bus. He was our guide. Because I saw a lady out on the paddy dikes that I walked across so many times, the checkerboard, 2 foot wide, 2 foot deep in water type paddy dikes. And I asked if I could get out. And I wanted my son to walk on that dike and to show him how difficult it was, particularly at night. And when you get shot, you have really nowhere to go but in the water. That was an experience that I think Mark appreciated. I met a former NVA person who did not speak English, but my guide in the bus wanted me to meet him. And it was a challenging experience for me, not so much because I was afraid to meet him, but because of how he said what he said to me, and that is that I kill Marine not kill me. Marine shoot at me, which took me a little bit by surprise, and I truthfully didn't handle it all that well, but my son said to me when we walked away, well, Dad, how did that go? I said, not really well, Mark.
You had a comeback for him. What did you say in return? What was the first thing that, when you didn't have time to think about it, that you said in return? Will you tell us?
Can I say it on the air?
If it's not, if it's what I read in the book, yes, I don't think it's bad language, is it?
No, it's not, yeah, right. And I'll phrase it that way. I said to Twin, what did he say? And he told me, I kill Marine shoot at me. I said, really? Well, you tell him that I said he is one lucky SOB.
Right.
And Twin looked at me shaking his head like, no, I don't want to say that. And then I said, Twin, you tell him what I said. So he did. Well, then I got these gnarly eyes looking at me, of course. And I phrase it in the book that it's kind of like two dogs ready to pounce on one another, but it really wasn't that bad. Okay.
When you walked away and had a moment to process that, and as you, you know, spent time in the country and had more time to process that, did anything change?
Well, I don't know that particular incident caused me to change. I was disappointed in the way the guide on the bus, and I speak about that too in the book, misled the people on the bus about things. I cite the story of the napalm girl and how he didn't state that that was a Army of the Republic of Vietnam Air Force pilot that dropped the napalm on that village that day. He made it sound like we did that. And so when I confronted him about it, he said, but it was your napalm. And I said, well, but Twin, do you really think we would produce napalm to kill civilian people that we are here trying to help? Makes no difference. It was your napalm. So I found that rather frustrating. I didn't like the idea of tourist buses showing the American flag and the communist flag with the North Vietnamese red star in the middle. That struck me wrong for some reason. And yet what they were trying to portray was that we are now the same. And we're all one. We're together. Well, that's not what I understood was happening when I went there. Mm-hmm. I understood we were trying to contain communism and not let it overrun the country.
I want to expand a little bit on this idea of, you know, sort of reducing so much that happens during that time into a tour bus trip, or and talk to you a little bit about the Ken Burns special that we all watched this mm-hmm. summer and spent a lot of time with it. There were things that you liked about that special. There were things you were disappointed with, and that, frankly, your book sort of might have been helpful in expanding that conversation in the documentary. What specifically did you find that special got right and spoke to you and said that I needed to see that on the screen, and I feel grateful that was shown to the American people? And then we'll talk about some of the disappointments.
Well, first of all, I think it woke America up to realize that the things they didn't know. That to me was part of what I write about in the book, is that not everybody that goes to war fights the war. I said to you earlier that I believe combat is a part of war. War is not combat, and yet it was. It opened up the eyes to the public, and I hear this a lot where people say, I just didn't know. I just didn't realize when Ken Burns said less than 20% actually fought the war, what that meant. And in your book, you bring that forth quite clearly. And in addition to that, the revelation that our country's presidents did things that we probably didn't realize were happening behind the scenes and got brought forth was interesting for me as well as the public. One of the most interesting pieces for me personally as a veteran of combat was when the NVA officer said, one of them said this, that when a Marine went down or a soldier went down, was killed or wounded, we just waited. We waited because we knew somebody was going to come get him. Then we had another target. And why that never crossed my mind, Lori, I have no idea. But all I know is we would never leave people behind. We would always venture forward and get somebody. I lost a very good friend that way, and a squad leader that went up to help him was shot by the same sniper. I didn't even think about that they were waiting for us to come and get these people. But yet it makes sense. I realize it now.
For this book, obviously you lived it, and then you did research, extensive research to sort of put the pieces together. Tell me about the audio that you had. You had your own voice to listen back to.
In 1967, when I went to Vietnam, there was somebody in our squad tent had a little reel-to-reel tape recorder, and it was a little 3.5-inch reel that when you finished recording on it, you turn the tape over so it recorded on both sides, is what it did. And then you had a little plastic container about 3x4, and you put the reels in there and sent them home. Your parents could listen to them on another reel-to-reel. There was no cassettes at that day. So I sent home a series of these. They became unearthed when my mother and father moved to assisted living. And I tried to come up with a way in which I could get some voice off of this, because I had no clue what I said. It ended up, after a long series of tries, I took it to the university up in South Dakota State, and somebody in their tech department was able to go to get that off the tape. And he put them in CDs for me. I brought them home, and I went upstairs in our bedroom, and I closed the door, and I put one in the Bose radio CD player. And for the first time in 30-some years, I heard my 19-year-old voice talking about experiences, how I felt, the things that we were doing. What was interesting to me was my first tape. My voice is very feeling safe, okay. And then about a month later, having gone through some experiences in combat, my voice changes dramatically. I can tell that I am nervous. I can tell that I'm not sure whether I'm going to live one day or the next. But that was, I still have them. And I used those as some research because I knew what I said then had to be pretty accurate compared for me trying to remember 40, 50 years ago in that sense. So that was helpful for me.
What sort of things did you find at the time important to say? What kind of details were you sending home to your parents?
I remember one detail that my father asked me in a letter. What does the war mean to you right now? How do you feel about the war? And ironically, I told him, which I think is ironic in the sense that it was rather profound. I said, Dad, this war is a waste of time. I said, I don't know what we're trying to accomplish other than we fight to save the lives of our buddies and then ourselves to stay alive, and then the country comes next. So, and when I heard that being said by me on that CD, I thought, wow, I didn't think I could ever say that to somebody at that time because I really felt in my mind we were doing the right thing. But yet it was a shock to me that I had revealed that to him that early in that in my time in Vietnam.
It's a good question that he asked you as well.
It was a good question mm-hmm. that he asked me. Yes, absolutely.
How do you answer that question today? What does the war mean to you?
Well, I have a lot of bad memories, of course. There's things I don't care to think about anymore. But writing this book has been good for me, as you know. Having watched the documentary, having been there, done what I did, served my country the way I did, and then going on the drill field and helping young recruits who I knew were going back to that area, it gives me some sense of pride for my country in one way. In another way, I feel that I got duped by the American government, by our government. I was told one thing and turned out to be another thing. I talk about it in my book, where I was really saddened by starting to see the withdrawal of troops and the fall of Saigon. I just knew it was over then. And yet, for what? I kept saying, look at all the people and friends that I had that are gone. And it just didn't make sense to me, Lori, at the time. And it might not even yet today. I don't know how to answer your question totally because I've talked to so many people who are still dealing with issues. And it affects everybody so differently.
You're just tuning in. The book is called 15 Minutes Ago, A Vietnam War Memoir. My guest, the book's author, Craig Cheddar. You write in here, quote, I wrote this book seeking to heal my soul from my ghosts of war. Did it do that?
Honestly, it did not. I was being very hopeful when I wrote that it would do that, but that's because psychiatrists told me over the years that writing can help. The key word, can. I don't know how to say it other than what's happened to me is that I'm finding peace in a different way, Lori. There's a byproduct that came out of this book that I never, ever saw coming. And that was the means, that was the way in which it started to help people. And I never saw that. So if there's any peace at all for me, it's knowing that what I have written about my experience and how I've struggled over the years and still do, that is, I'm painting the same picture for a lot of people. And they understand that now. They see it. And I can't tell you all the people that have come to me and told me this, but it's just amazing to me. When a person calls you from a state on the West Coast and tells you, we've read your book, and my husband has struggled with for 50 years because he didn't feel he served his country adequately by being in an office. And he said, but now that I've read this book, I'm not sure I could have done what Craig did anyway. So I'm at peace with that. And that's, I mean, it's weird, but that's just an example. That's been the byproduct of the book that's given me some peace and some comfort to know that what I've done with this book has helped people and hopefully will continue to help people.
I want to get at this idea of telling the truth. And there are things that you say you needed to disclose, but you struggled with that because of the possible implications. Mm-hmm. There are things that happen that should not have happened. People who behave without integrity. And you really wrestle with that. How did you wrestle with the idea of telling the truth about some of those key turning points for you as a young man in Vietnam?
Well, there was two things in this whole book that really I struggled with. And my wife, Della, and I talked about them. The first, of course, was the murder in the book that we discussed. And thanks to my daughter, who's an attorney in Florida, she sought the help of a military attorney that she knew. And he said to her, the best thing your father can do is not put it in the book at all. Because if this person who did this is still alive and by chance reads the book and is a CEO of a big company, as an example, he could be sued for a defamation of character, a civil suit, which you don't want your father to have. The other thing he could do would be to change the name, and maybe nobody would know. And so that's what I did, because it was such an integral part of the book, because it's my biggest nightmare from Vietnam. The other dilemma I faced was divulging my secret that I've carried all my life, and that I have a mental problem. I have a issue with PTSD. And I didn't want to disclose that necessarily to everybody. It's kind of like Tim O'Brien said, and when I heard him speak at the Festival of Books, I mean, who wants to know their dad's a drunk and beats his mom? You know, I mean, you don't. Mm-hmm. You don't talk about it. And so I didn't want to talk about it either. But I can't write the book without telling the stories and then finishing it with why this bothers me today. And that was my struggle. And but we overcame it and realized that this is what we needed to do. I needed to do.
That helps other people too, I'm guessing.
It does.
You must have heard back by now from others.
Absolutely.
Who have said.
Absolutely. And that's the thing that I stress every time I speak, Lori, is that if you know people who are seeking, are looking to, are still struggling, they need to find help somehow, some way. And it's not in the bottom of a bottle, and it's not in a needle, I can tell you that. It's just going out and getting help. And I went to the VA, and that's what saved me.
The book is called 15 Minutes Ago, A Vietnam War Memoir. Craig Cheddar, are you okay? I want you to be okay. As I read this, I think, can anyone be okay after living this? I sit here with you, I talk to you, and you're this wonderful person. Do you define yourself as being all right now?
Well, I think most people know me as a pretty happy, outgoing, friendly guy. Okay, I do. I'm not trying to be boastful about that, but I just do. And what they don't know is what the title says. Right. And that is, I'm in Vietnam 15 minutes ago. It's part of my life. I've become comfortable with the fact that the thoughts I have are passing thoughts anymore. They just go through my mind. They don't stop me in my tracks, and they don't make me sit down and cry in a room because I can't get rid of them anymore. I don't think about dying and suicide. I don't do that anymore. Today, I'm considered healthy in my own mind, but even though I know my mind is troubled. And without medications and without the things that I feel in counseling with psychiatrists and so forth, I can't be the person I am, Lori, that you're looking at right now. I don't know what I would be. I don't. I don't want to think about that one. So, but I feel good. I do. Really, I do. And the book has helped me.
Craig Tedder, the book has helped me and helped many other people as well. Thank you for coming once again to talk to us about it. We appreciate your time.
Well, thank you, Lori. Semper Fi.